ahead and pray. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. Father, open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that she could attend unto the things which are spoken. Open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you will turn with me to 1 Peter 3, we're going to begin. We're going to look over why we're here. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversations of the wives. And that goes for fathers and sons and neighbors and co-workers and such. While they behold your chaste conversation, that word is behavior, coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning, a plaiting of the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. I want to say something about putting on of apparel. It is coming up in the spirit, so I'm going to say it. Unless you are a prostitute, unless you are a whore, and that's how you get your income, you shouldn't be dressing like one. Got it? Because what is your adorning? The hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible. Take it from mama. Honey, if you're looking for a good man, then don't look like a man that's attracted to a whore. You know what I learned? Dress with what you want them to look like to you. So if you want a good man, a godly man, a man that will obey God, my guess is dress like a woman that obeys God. All right? Okay. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Of great price. Do you see what God says here? That meek and quiet spirit is of great price. And we have talked about that meek and quiet spirit is the meek and quiet man, Jesus, in us. That a man that is assured, that man that walked in faith, that man that loved the people around him and loved us enough, he went to the cross. Now, turn with me to John 10:35. If he called them gods, this is Jesus speaking, unto whom the word of God came. Notice what that says. Who the word of God came, the scripture called them gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. Do you know that Jesus is the word of God? He is the word of God. And when he came to earth, he was the personified word of God. He was the word that walked it out as a human, as a person. That word cannot be broken. Did you know that everything Jesus said was life and spirit? Everything he said was life and spirit. He was the word. It cannot be broken. If Jesus said that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Ask the fig tree. All right, now go with me with that. Go with me to Romans 10, verse 13. The scripture cannot be broken. You cannot break the scripture. You can't. Now, you cannot believe it, and it won't manifest. But if you put your faith in it, it will have to come to pass. It has to, because it can't be broken. Do you know that long after this world is gone, long after this world is gone, that word will still be there. It outlives the world. It'll outlive any human. It'll outlive the very universe. that word will. It cannot be broken. With that, verse 13 of Romans 10. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That verse is in another place and it says shall be delivered. Do you see that word whosoever? Do you see that word whosoever shall call? Do you know you don't even have to be a Christian to call on the name of the Lord? It says whosoever. Do you know what I'm speaking now covers the whole world? Do you know that you don't even have to have the same God as I do? But if you call on Jesus, you will be saved. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be a Hindu, you can be a Muslim, you can be any religion other than Christianity, but if you will call on the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, you will be saved. And you know what? I can prove it. Go with me to Mark 7. I can prove it. Mark 7, 24. And from thence Jesus arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He's on the ocean now, or he's on the Mediterranean Sea. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. It says, and came and fell at Jesus' feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. Do you know the Syrophoenicians aren't Jews? Do you know the Syrophoenician didn't have the same God as the Jews did? They worshipped a whole bunch of gods. They did not have the same God. The woman didn't worship Jehovah, but she heard about Jesus. And she came to him and fell at his feet, a Syrophoenician, a Greek, a Gentile. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought Jesus that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She didn't even need the help, her daughter did. Her daughter was the one that needed the help. And the woman came to Jesus because she heard about him. She heard about him. She was not a Jew. She didn't even worship the same God. And it says, what happened? But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread. Jesus calls getting help from God, the children's bread, getting deliverance, getting healed, and cast it to the dogs. And this Greek woman, this Syrophoenician, answered and said unto Jesus, yes, Lord, yea, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. She got Jesus' attention. And she wasn't a Jew. But you know what the wonderful thing is? She got what she came for. I guarantee you, the moment she got it, she switched gods. She switched gods. And she became one of Jesus' little lambs. And you know what else? When Jesus went to the cross, when he went and died on the cross, he made us all Jews that believe him. He made us all part of the family of God. He made us all children of God. And we have the Jew in us. So we're not even like the Syrophoenician woman. But if you have a different God, but you got a daughter or you got a child that needs help, you get to Jesus. You get to Jesus. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever. Whosoever. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what color you are. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you keep calling until you get it, because you will. That's a promise from the gospel. And the word cannot be broken. And with that, I want us to go to Romans 1. We are going to start studying a little bit about faith. About faith. But I'm going to teach, or I'm going to minister faith here like you've probably never heard it before. I am not going to give you the 14 steps to faith. I'm not going to give you the 5 steps to faith. We are going to find out how to walk in faith. Why? Because we want to be that woman with the meek and quiet spirit. And you can't be meek and quiet if you're not in faith. It is so wonderful to have your faith working and it's gone crazy around you and you have your trust in God and you are waiting on God to do what he promised to do. That's what faith is. But now let's go to Romans 1 verse 16. And I'm going to read 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of the gospel. For it is. It is. I used to be a grammar teacher. It is your subject. Is your predicate. And then after that, you got your object of the object of the predicate. And what is that? The gospel. The object of the pronoun is the gospel. There, got it right. The object of the pronoun is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Nobody's left out in this. Nobody is left out. That is the wonderful thing about the love of God. Nobody. Nobody, not even the Syrophoenicians who weren't there anymore. Nobody's left out. It says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice, what is the power of God? The power is the gospel. The power is not the Holy Ghost. The power is the gospel. The Holy Ghost will bring it, but the power is the gospel. That's where the power is. Let's go on. For therein, what is the object of the therein? The gospel. For in the gospel, for therein, the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. You start out small and it gets bigger. Faith to faith. As it is written, notice, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Did you know that to be a Christian, you have to live by faith? And I want to make it perfectly clear here. There is faith and there is faithfulness. Two totally different things. You can be faithful to show up to church every time that door opens and not have a bit of faith. Not have a bit of faith. They are two different things. There's faith and faithfulness. All right? Wonderful thing is God's faithful. But we have to use our faith. It says the just shall live by faith. You have to live by faith. Why do we have to live by faith? Why can't God just give it to us? Why can't he just give me all my prosperity I need, heal my body, give me a nice house, lots of kids, you know, everything I want. Why can't he just do that? The just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know why? Because that's how God lives. That's how God lives. God lives by faith. And you want to prove it? Step on the ground. Do you know one day there was no ground there? Do you know there wasn't any? Do you know there wasn't even any mass? Remember mass from junior high? Mass, something you can touch. There wasn't any. There wasn't any. And God spoke. And then we got an earth. And we got a universe. And we got a whole bunch of mass. And it was all formed. It says he stretched out the heavens like a curtain. He, with his breath, he created the universe. All that mass came out of nothing. God lives by faith. That's why we have to live by faith. And you know what? He will help us however he needs to help us. He loves us that much. I'll have an illustration for you, and you mothers will know it because I'm talking to women. I had a little daughter. My oldest daughter, she's now 30-something, but when my daughter was about 1 year old, she was just beginning to walk, just beginning to learn how to walk. And I remember she was at her grandmother's house. We were visiting the family, and she was holding on to a chair. She was able to pull herself up, but she hadn't taken any steps yet. She'd get up there on that chair, and she would be all excited. She'd go around from piece of furniture to piece of furniture, but she wouldn't let go. You know what her grandmother did? Her grandmother got on the other side of the room, and she said, "Come on, honey. Come on. Come to Grandma. Come to Grandma." And my daughter would kind of, you know, she hadn't taken any steps yet. "Come on to Grandma." And then she pulled out the cookie. Grandmas aren't dumb. And you know what happened? My daughter took her first step to Grandma and the cookie. Do you know that's how God deals with you? Do you know how that's how God, he is telling you, "Come on, believe me. Come on, believe me. Come on, believe me." He says that all his plans are for you, for your good. For your good. "The plans I have for you, saith the Lord, are for good and not for evil." Come on. Come on. Let go. Come and believe me. Start using your faith. "For the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, they're for good and not for evil. To bring you a future and a hope." Come on. "In those days when you pray, I will listen. And you will find me. When you seek me, if you will look for me in earnest." Come on. Come on. He's going to pull out the cookie. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get where you need a job. Here's the cookie. Where you are in trouble and you need some money. Here's the cookie. Come on. Your family's falling apart. Come on. That's how much God loves you. All right. Now, let's go back to, we did that. Let's go back to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 14. We are going to begin to learn how to get our faith working, how to walk in faith. I love God. He makes things so simple, and he makes it because he's saying, come on. He wants us to live by faith. Verse 14, Romans 10. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" And that's Jesus. "And how shall they believe in Jesus in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall the preachers preach except they be sent?" You better make sure the preacher you're listening to is sent. And you'll be able to tell. It said, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." There's your gospel preacher. Now, look. It says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." So what are we talking about in verse 15? We're talking about the gospel. What are we talking about in verse 16? We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the gospel. Paul here is reiterating the gospel. He said, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" That is Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? That Isaiah 53 is the gospel. And look at this next verse. So then, what have we been talking about? The gospel. We've been talking about the gospel. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And what was that word? The gospel. Paul here is talking about the gospel. He said, Isaiah saith, who has believed our report? What was the report? The report is the gospel. So faith cometh by hearing the what?
Gospel.
What?
Gospel.
Faith cometh by hearing the gospel. The gospel. Faith cometh by hearing the gospel. Can it be any harder than that? Now, let's find out exactly what the gospel is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1 through 4, because everybody's got a definition of the gospel. Well, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, there's a whole lot of stuff in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that is not the gospel. Genesis has very little gospel in it, but it does have it. So does every other book of the Bible. But we want the pure gospel that's going to minister and grow our faith. We got to have faith. It says the just shall live by faith. Well, then, if you don't have, you know, if you're not using your faith, you have faith. You have faith that was given to you the moment you believed. It was given as a gift. You have faith. You cannot say, I have no faith. You can proudly say, I'm not using my faith. I wouldn't say it too loud, but you have faith, but it's going to take effort to use it. It takes effort to use it, but we're going to learn. We're going to see how to use it. Faith cometh by hearing the gospel. What is the gospel? The bona fide, I like to say, the bona fide definition of the gospel, thank God, is written in the word. It is written exactly, precisely what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Here we go. The gospel. Why? Which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand. They stand in the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Why? Because that's where the power is. We learned that with Romans 1, 16. The power is the gospel. So when you want power, you preach the gospel. When we want power, we believe the gospel. If you want to feel dead, read the Ten Commandments. We want life. We want power. We want the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Yes, you can believe in vain. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Next verse, 4, verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, and here is your definition of the gospel, the bona fide, precise definition of the gospel. Here's where your faith will grow. It says, verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. There is the definition of the gospel. There is where the power is. There is where your faith must be in. There is where your faith must be in. Your faith isn't in anything else. Paul said faith comes by hearing the gospel. Now, with that, turn with me to Isaiah 53. I don't think we'll get to all of this today, but I am going to give you a testimony. The gospel is where it's at. The gospel is that Jesus died for you, that he was buried for you, and that he was raised again for you. And we're going to look at that, that that's where our faith is at. And do you know, when I was, it was about 1986, my daughter was about 2 years old. Some of you know this testimony, but the world does not. My daughter was about 2 years old. We had just moved into a new house that God had provided for us. And she came to me one night and she was crying. And she said, "Mommy, my ear hurts." It was about 10 o'clock at night. This was not, she had an ear infection. I knew it. Why? Because she had had several before. And I thought, here we go again. Another ear infection. It's 10 o'clock at night. You can't call up the doctor and get the medicine that you need for an ear infection at 10 o'clock at night. And you know what else I knew? That medicine was going to take several days to work. So I was going to have a miserable little girl on my hands for several days. And I did all that I could. I said, "Kristen," I put her back in her bed, and I put her on her pillow, and I, you know, put her all nice and warm, sorry. And I said, "Mommy's going to go pray." Because I couldn't call anybody that late at night. This was not at the time that they had the 24-hour places. And you know what? This is God going, "Come on, Kathy. Come on." So I go in the kitchen, and I start praying. And our kitchen back at that time was kind of a rectangle, so I could do a nice little oblong. And I was walking up and down the kitchen, back and forth, and I'm praying with everything that I had been taught. Jesus died for my daughter. Jesus, by his stripes, she's healed. And I'm praying, and I'm binding the devil. I'm doing everything that I know to do, and I hear her in the other room crying. You know what it's like to be a mama and your baby's crying because they hurt and you can't fix it. And so I'm walking around and I'm thinking, you know, trying to concentrate on everything I needed to do to get her feeling better to get us through the morning, frankly, to get us to the morning. And I'm praying and I was getting more and more frustrated and she's crying louder and louder because mama's not in there. And I remember this still, and it's 30 years ago, stopping in front of our stove because it had a hood. And I looked up. And I threw my religion out the window. And I threw my decorum out the window. And I said to God, looking up, "What do I have to do to get you to come down here and heal her?" And I stood there, frustrated. And the most amazing thing happened. God, the Spirit of God, used my voice, my mouth. But what came out of my mouth wasn't me talking. It was the Spirit of God. And he said, "Kathy." He knew my name. He said, "Kathy, the sacrifice has already been made." What? I stood there in shock. Time seemed to just halt. The sacrifice has already been made. You know what God was telling me? That gospel healed your daughter. Jesus already paid for her ear infection. Jesus did everything he had to do to get her healed. There was nothing more I could do. I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't be loud enough. I couldn't be sweet enough. I couldn't be godly enough. Why? Because it had already been done before I was even born. And I stood there for the first time in my life and realized that the gospel was the answer. The gospel, Jesus taking my sins, her sins, taking her sicknesses, her diseases, her curse, he took it all on his own body and he died for her and he was buried for her. her. And God was satisfied with that sacrifice for her. Do you hear that? God was satisfied with the sacrifice for her. And as I stood there and was trying to take this all in, time started to start up again, and I came back to the planet, it felt like. And I stood there for a minute, and I realized she wasn't crying. She wasn't crying. She was asleep. Next morning, she woke up. She came to me. I said, "Kristen, how's your ear?" "Oh, all gone, Mommy. All gone." And she toddled out away to play. Do you know what? She was totally healed. She was totally healed. And you don't want to know even better than that? I had three boys after her, four children total. Not one ever got an ear infection again. Not one child, and if you live here in Texas, that is a bona fide miracle. Not one child got an ear infection since. They are all on their own now. Why? Because Jesus took the curse. Jesus already paid. The sacrifice has already been made. That's the gospel. And when I put my faith in it, it worked. It worked. And you know what? I was just a housewife mama then. I wasn't anything but a mama that wanted her daughter to feel better. And what was that? That was God saying, "Come on, come on, believe me." And all my children will attest, they never got another ear infection. And I have been able to pray for others, and the ear infection has gone. Why? There's faith in there. That's faith in that gospel. And that's what we're going to look at, building our faith. And that faith is in the gospel. It's faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. But the faith is going to be in the gospel. Now, you want some of that? You want that? You know, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what religion you are of. But Jesus said in the Word of God, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must get the Spirit of Jesus in you. It doesn't matter what church. It doesn't matter what religion. Jesus said, not a religion said it. Not a denomination said it. Jesus said it. There weren't any denominations yet. Jesus said it. You must be born again. And when you are born again, you get the spirit of that man that died for you, was buried for you, and raised again for you inside you, where he can lead you and fix you. That's what you get when you were born again. How do you do that? Pray with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Lead me and fix me. I ask this in your name. Amen. And you know what it says when you said Jesus? It says in Romans 1:13, we read it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, and that's Jesus, shall be saved. So if you said that prayer, you're saved. Amen.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.